Perhaps it's safe to call Barack Obama's 8-day trip to Europe triumphant. He's in the last day of it. It's his second full day of visiting Turkey, and he's in Istanbul this morning, where Asli Aydintaşbaş, a journalist and former Ankara bureau chief of the newspaper Sabah, joins us. Also, Jeff McAllister, who's a BBC political commentator and former bureau chief in London for Time magazine, joins us from London. Jeff, thanks for being with us.
Nice to be here.
And Asli Aydintaşbaş, this is a really interesting moment. Barack Obama is receiving a lot of emotional responses from the people in the street of Istanbul, but there's a nuance here. It seems to me that Washington likes to view Turkey as some sort of moderate bridge nation. Do Turks see their nation in the same way?
Well, it is true that typically Turks don't like being just a symbol of a moderate nation or a symbol of a corridor between East and West, you name it. But in this case, I have to say, Barack Obama did several things here. He didn't just talk about Turkey as a Muslim nation or a moderate Islamic country and whatnot. He really also spoke to secularist Turks who do not like to be labeled Islamic only. He made a lot of references to Turkey's secular traditions, secular history, paid a trip to the Atatürk Mausoleum, the founder of modern Turkey, and sort of seen the figure who's seen as the founder of secular Turkey. And in fact, in several references, particularly in his speech in the parliament, he talked about secularism. So when he's just about leaving right now, I think, and we have the situation that he's pretty much pleased everybody. I mean, Islamists are happy because Turkey's greater role in the Muslim world and greater role as a regional power is highlighted. Secularists are happy. Kurds are happy because he's met the leader of the opposition. Minorities, Christian minorities, are happy because he made a reference to the need to open up the theological seminary, Greek Orthodox seminary. And Armenians are happy because although he has made it pretty clear that he would not be using genocide, this sort of the word genocide in his speech to on the Armenian issue this year. This is a hot topic in Turkey. But he's also, urged Turkish parliament in his speech yesterday to come to grips with its own past and normalize relations with Armenia. So we're in this funny situation here in Istanbul, completely in love with Obama, and he said something nice to everybody, and I don't know how it happens.
Happiness, happiness, happiness. It sounds just dreadfully boring.
We drank the Kool-Aid.
Yes, indeed. Jeff McAllister, you know a bit more about these things than I do, but it seems to me the typical ritual for a new American president on dealing with the Middle East, and, you know, let me just say as a caveat, Istanbul is in Europe geographically, but nevertheless, the overtures to the Islamic world and to the Middle East typically begin in places like Israel or Saudi Arabia for new American presidents, not on the streets of, an enormously diverse country like Turkey. Is Obama breaking the rules here?
I think he is, and obviously deliberately so. I mean, he made his first interesting move with the Islamic world when he did his first interview, television interview as president to an Arab news channel. He also gave the New Year's wishes to Iran, which got a tremendous amount of attention in Iran, and he very carefully called it the Islamic Republic of Iran when he's referring to it in order to signal that regime change is no longer a goal of the United States. And now he, of course, 11% of Americans think he is Muslim. He has a Muslim name, and he's taking advantage of the opportunity that he has, being this quite unusual figure, to go out to the streets and try to shuffle the deck in a different way with America's relations with the Islamic world.
Well, how far does this go, Asla? Is this a honeymoon period, and are there expectations and strong, concrete ones from the people of Turkey and broadly in the Muslim world that are going to have to end up being deliverables, or does this just kind of fade away and after a while this just becomes another American president?
Well, I don't know. and I'm not very cynical by nature, so I'd like to see the glass half full in this case, because it is true that expectations are really high here, and it would be impossible for any politician in any country to kind of meet all of it. I mean, when Obama was elected the 44th president of the United States in November, a tribal leader from southeastern Turkey sacrificed 44 sheep in his honor with banners that says, "Obama, one of us." Obviously, he's not one of us. He's the president of the United States, and is going to continue representing U.S. Foreign policy. But this change in tenor, I think, is very important. You know, I think it's sometimes I look back at the speeches President Bush has made while he was here, and he'd made similar overtures and references, whatnot, and it's clearly, it's clearly not what was said, but who said it in this case. So Bush has never had this kind of impact, although he's, you know, made a good many gestures to Turkey. There was this morning in Istanbul, he was at a historic location holding a townhouse meeting with a bunch of students, and one of the questions, Turks are typically cynical people, and one of the like most Middle Easterners, and one of the questions was like, okay, you know, you are a different person and a different pace, but it is like, does it essentially mean a different policy? And how are you going to be, are you really going to be different from George Bush? And he took that question very, very seriously, saying, you know, I know what you're asking. I know you're just saying, am I just a new face? But I'd like to think I have different policies too. And then went on to talk about his differences, including, you know, Iraq war and climate change and whatnot, issues such as that. So I think that... you know, how much of it is this sort of personality and symbol that Barack Obama has become for Turks and Muslims and else, rest of the world, and how much of it is actual content of what he said? It's actually difficult to say, but
right. Very best case scenario, Asla, you know, George W. Bush would only have gotten 43 sheep there in eastern Turkey. Jeff McAllister, is there a fundamental contradiction between this almost symbolic and very emotional sense of wanting America through a persona like Barack Obama to lead the world, and this also knee-jerk sense that America needs to get out of the way and stop lecturing to the world at the same time that characterized the Bush era? It feels contradictory to me.
Well, that's the interesting thing. I think Obama managed to thread this needle extremely well. I mean, especially because of the economic crisis that most people think was made in America, you would have thought he might have had a harder time on this trip. But in fact, he has said, "Look, I'm open for business again diplomatically. I want the United States to be active," and in fact, countries want the United States to be active. With the United States not at the center of the world system, it's like the gravity turned off. And although people do resent it if the U.S. throws its weight around too much, he's managed to appear humble enough, interested enough in other people's opinions, able to sort of take in new views. I mean, this is something that Obama has done his whole life. He's been extremely skilled at being a good listener from the time he was a little kid in Indonesia to Harvard Law Review and there on. I think he managed to not only look like he knows what he wants to do, but look young, vital, beautiful wife. He has all the newspaper people that gave him applause after his press conference at the G20. You don't see that
right.
Very often.
So, before we go then to both of you, what's the tantalizing next step that you think is potentially possible here, either in policy terms or just symbolically? Asla, you first, and then Jeff.
Well, I mean, at some point we'd have to get to the substance, and that would be, I think, some movement in the Israeli-Palestinian front. And I know that's very difficult with the local election with the election results in Israel and whatnot, but at least something on the Syrian-Israeli track that seems more doable. And Turkey has been moving
right
forward on that issue.
No, and Turkey's been involved, and also there have been
there.
Right, and there have been some interesting details there. Jeff, tantalizing next step, and then we'll go.
I agree about the Israeli one being interesting and tantalizing, but very difficult. I think Iran does have a possibility of regional conference, some kind of progressive steps of getting them enmeshed in the negotiating system and in the right. worldview that we'd like them to take on.
Well, fascinating conversation. Jeff McAllister, BBC political commentator, former bureau chief in London for Time, and Asla Aden Tashbash, journalist and former Ankara bureau chief of the newspaper Sabah. We leave you with
Thank
Barack
you.
Obama.
I came here out of my respect to Turkey's democracy and culture and my belief that Turkey plays a critically important role in the region and in the world. And I came to Turkey because I'm deeply committed to rebuilding a relationship between the United States and the people of the Muslim world.
Istanbul.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.